This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you for the remainder of this hour this evening. We've had a lot of folks texting in after the last segment. And I want to address one of the topics that was raised, or one of the questions, rather, that was raised by a person who texted in. And if this is you, by the way, I would love for you to call in. This is a great idea to actually discuss
SNL coin
in person, or we could discuss it with SNL coin. You know, that would work, too. And but I would love to discuss this. But here's the text. He or she said, you just make this stuff up as you go. The system built by all of us allows such wealth to be accumulated. Why is it so difficult to ask those who benefit most to give back in a way that allows others the same security they have? And you know what? That's a good point. But my question back to the texter, and I would certainly love, if you're still listening, to call in to discuss this, is how much is enough? Where do we draw that magic line that says, here's what you pay as your fair share when it comes to taxes? What is that? And in 30 years that I've been asking that question both on and off the air, no one will ever tell me what's the fair share. No one will ever tell me that. And in reading, I've never read what anyone should think is a fair share. No one will define what that is. So in other words, what the definition becomes is a fair share that you should pay is more than what you're currently paying. But I'm not going to tell you what that should be. I'm not going to fix a point, but your fair share should be more than what you're currently paying. So let's look at the numbers. And in 2020, that's the most recent data that we have from the IRS. In 2020, the top 1% of taxpayers, the top 1%, paid 42% of all income taxes. So you have 1% of people paying 42% of all taxes. Is that enough? Is that a fair share, or should it be higher? And if so, what should it be? In other words, what should it be? Because in the 1960s, under John F. Kennedy, the top marginal tax rate was, I believe, in the 70 or 80% range. So if someone is going to be in a course with a marginal tax rate, that means on the first amount of money you pay it at a lower rate. As you make more money, it gets taxed at a higher and higher rate. But if you get to that rate where you only get to keep 20 cents out of every dollar you earn, then why earn it? In other words, if 80% of what you make, you don't get to keep, in what universe is that considered fair? In what universe is that considered okay? So when I talked about before where in some instances the increase of rights means a decrease of freedom, in that circumstance, if you're paying an 80% tax rate, your freedom is incredibly curtailed. It basically, at that point, you're an indentured servant for the government. If 80% of what you're making goes to the government and you get to keep 20, you're just a hair away from indentured servitude at that point. So that's part of what I was talking about in that last segment, that when I look at folks like Bill Gates and they've made a pledge to give away their wealth, I applaud them. Good for you. And I look at Jeff Bezos and he's not giving anything away. And I say, you know what? You're a cad and you're a fool and you're a narcissist. Give some of that away. You've been blessed. You have an ethical duty to give back, particularly if you look at Bezos. Of all the people who worked hard to put him where he was, he truly has an ethical duty to give back to those who are less fortunate. But does he have a legal obligation to give back? And that's the part that makes me question, is it true freedom? Are we losing our freedom if the Bernie Sanders of this world say there should be no billionaires? And there was a joke going around a couple of weeks ago that Bernie Sanders burned all of his Taylor Swift CDs once he found out she became a billionaire. Now, I don't think there's no truth to that. Don't repeat lies. There's no truth to Bernie Sanders burning Taylor Swift CDs. But you get the point that I'm making. And that is, oh, I can like someone until they become a billionaire, and now I can't like them anymore. But we don't know what Taylor Swift gives away. We don't know. We do know that she takes care of her crew very well. She pays their health insurance. She gives them huge bonuses. She takes care of them financially. God bless her. That's great. But in that context, though, that has to be her decision. That's not a decision that Bernie Sanders gets to make. That's not a decision that Ted Cruz gets to make. That's a decision that Taylor Swift has to make, or whether it's Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. Because if the government comes in and makes that decision, then their rights are thereby being impeded and their freedoms are being reduced. So the person who texted that in said he's going to call in, or he or she's going to call in after he gets the kiddos to bed. So I welcome that conversation, not to have a debate, but to have a conversation about how do we work through these ideas of where one person's responsibility legally ends, but where does their ethical responsibility and moral responsibility begin? 314-436-7900, call or text. And speaking of billionaires, coming up after the break, I love space. I love all things space. But as I was digging into the most recent SpaceX Starship launch, to me, the most amazing part is not that it got launched into space, but that it got through all the government red tape. We'll go through all of that next on At Your Service. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in this evening. And of course, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What in your life do you give thanks for? And to whom do you give the thanks? 314-436-7900. Would love to hear from you. Kathy has been holding through the break. Hey, Kathy, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, Brad. You were talking about the fair taxes. Back in the 1990s, so I don't know what the number would be today, a dear friend of mine who worked within the federal government had figured it out that if every single person from birth on paid like $2,000 a year, the government would have more than enough money to fund itself. And he had figured it out as far as, and it was from birth on, and if you could not pay the $2,000 for yourself for that year, then you did some type of service that would equivalent to the paying the $2,000. Now, that has a lot in. It made sense to me then. It still makes sense to me now, although we know so many people would dodge out of it, and you've got all the illegals, and they'll never keep track, and blah, 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 blah. But that was the idea I called in on, and what I'm thankful for is having 2 hours every week where we can have an intelligent conversation. So thank you so much, and have a great turkey day.
Well, thank you. Well, don't run off, Kathy. I appreciate that. I appreciate your comment, and I appreciate the fact that you recognize ideas to me are extremely interesting. And so that's why I like this medium where we get to talk about ideas. But essentially what you laid out, Kathy, is what we call a flat tax. That and many have floated this idea on should we just have a flat tax? So if you're Bill Gates, you would pay the same amount of money as a plumber. You know, everybody would pay the exact same amount. And of course, the argument against that position is that even though everyone pays the same amount, it has a disparate impact because $2,000 a year, whatever it would be today adjusted for inflation, that doesn't mean anything to Bill Gates. But to a guy who makes 10 grand a year, $2,000 would be an enormous chunk. So that's why I think we don't get anywhere. And so I think the best model that I've heard floated is kind of a modified flat tax, where there's a requirement that everyone pays something, and the wealthier pay a little bit more, and those who aren't so wealthy pay a little bit less, but everybody pays something. But don't you feel like there are a lot of folks in this country who pay no taxes, but should and certainly could be able to pay something?
Exactly. Exactly. And I agree completely, because there's always ways that even if you cannot afford it financially, you can afford it through service in some capacity. Whether it's and even the disabled can help in some capacity, unless they're truly that disabled and you've got the family taking care of them, and you know the extreme I'm talking about, but without babbling too much. But everybody can do something, and that's where we seem to have forgotten a lot of this in the process. And there used to be a lot of volunteering when you and I were young and growing up, and that's a big problem now in a lot of rural areas where I live, is trying to get volunteers for the fire department or the ambulance squad.
Sure.
And, you know, that's a big deal when you live out in a rural area and you don't have fire or ambulance service. So it's something that we need to be thinking about as a government, as a country, more than the government.
Boy, Kathy, I was just reminded as you were telling me that, as I was growing up in rural southern Illinois in the late 60s and during the 70s, my dad was a volunteer firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his buddies were volunteer firefighters, and they enjoyed that camaraderie of saying, we're helping our fellow citizens, those in our community, we're helping them, because if we all do something to help, we'll all be better off. And yet we don't really hear that sentiment much today. That was volunteerism. They weren't being required. They weren't being forced. There wasn't a law that drafted them into service. They did it because they wanted to. But where are those? And we certainly can look at areas and see, but I'm looking at it from a macro perspective. Where are those who want to give to their community, to help their community, rather than trying to legally force someone else by the force of law to pay more in taxes to help their community?
I agree. I don't know where it got lost, but it definitely did get lost. And I don't know exactly where. And you've seen it, and I've seen it, because I'm about 10 years older than you. So we've seen it, and I don't know that there's a solution for it, other than to encourage people when they are volunteering.
Right. You know, one of the things we saw recently, Kathy, was during COVID, we noticed that donations to food pantries went up, that service to other organizations went up when there was this idea that it was an emergency, that people would give. Look at New York City when they got hit on 9/11, that people were lining up to give blood, to donate blood. So I do think that as Americans, if we recognize that there is an emergency, that people will be more community-minded. But like today, I just saw a story, it was yesterday on the news, where donations to food pantries are going down, volunteering is going down, because there's no sense of an emergency. And it seems to me that we shouldn't have to have an emergency to encourage people to give to their community.
I agree completely. And I think part of the problem is we've gotten to the point of making everything an emergency. So people are not as a cognizant as the fact that day in, day out, for some people, this is an emergency.
Yeah, well, it just reminds me of in the first Incredibles movie, the bad guy was Syndrome, and his point was, if I make everyone super, then nobody will be. But that philosophy, though, is like what you just said, that if everything's an emergency, if every little thing's an emergency, then in reality, there are no emergencies, because everything's an emergency.
Bingo.
Wow. Hey,
and
thanks.
I don't know how to stop that.
Yeah.
I do know the media is a lot responsible for that. When I go to my emails in the evening, I go through two sets of feeds where there are various articles from all around the world and all around both liberal and conservative. And the one thing that gets me is how often stunning and incredible and awesome and is used to describe things, or horrifying. And when you read the article, it's like, no, it's not stunning. It's a nice dress. Or awesome, no, they did what they were supposed to do.
Exactly.
And that, I think, has a lot to do with it, too. We've become so, I don't know.
Hyperbolic.
Yes. Good word, Brad. That's why you get the big bucks as an attorney.
That's right. We've all become hyperbolic, that everything has to be hyperbole. It's over the top. It's the greatest. It's the worst. It's the most terrifying thing you've ever seen. Yeah, exactly.
And then people turn it off. So when it really is necessary, as in a day-to-day situation, they don't pay any attention to it because it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, it becomes the boy who cries wolf. If they tell us every day it's an emergency and it's not, then how do we know when it really is? That is a great point. Kathy, thanks for calling in this evening.
Thank you for taking my call, and I'm glad I stayed on and didn't quickly hang up on you.
Well, me too, because we had a fantastic conversation. Thank you. And thanks for listening to KMOX.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to take a break here. I've got some other folks calling in or texting in saying they want to give us a call. 314-436-7900. Would love to hear from you on that, but also on what are you thankful for? How are you going to be celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow? And perhaps how have your Thanksgiving traditions changed over time? At your service, Brad Young. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Thanksgiving edition here of At Your Service. And during the break, I was chatting with Matt, and I wanted to get this on the air because, Matt, what's your favorite Thanksgiving meal or food, rather?
I love green bean casserole. And I know that might not be a popular opinion, but the way my mom and my grandma before her made green bean casserole is just fantastic. It might be a bunch of added brown sugar or something in it, but I can't get enough green bean casserole every Thanksgiving.
And, you know, I've heard people, because I love green bean casserole. In fact, when I left my house to come to the station tonight, my middle daughter was making it at my house. So we're having that tomorrow. But I've had people, like, we're having 30 people tomorrow. We always have a big, big meal at our house for Thanksgiving. And there are some people that don't like green bean casserole, but I don't understand why.
They're not having it the right way.
I guess.
Same with the turkey. People don't like turkey as the main part of the meal, but maybe that's because they've been eating a dry turkey their entire lives, or they like the white meat over the dark meat. I don't know.
Well, I got to tell you this story, and I think you've heard this one before, but a good friend of mine who's a police officer, this was probably 15 years ago now, he wanted to deep fry his turkey. Have you had deep fried turkey?
No.
You know, I was very skeptical. All right. I was very, very skeptical until I had it. It is good. Now, I'm not saying I would eat it instead of a regular baked turkey because I don't like it that much. But when you eat a deep fried turkey, you're like, oh, I get this. Okay. I get it. I understand.
I would have a hard time convincing my entire family to mix it up for this year, though. I think they've kind of, my mom and my uncle, who are responsible for the bird each year, they kind of have their own method that they do. And I think it'd be hard to convince them to mix it up and deep fry it this year, but I would be interested in trying that.
Well, here's what you do, because to deep fry it, I've never done it, but you have to have a smaller bird. So it's not the main meal for what you serve, because there just wouldn't be enough. You have to use a smaller bird. But it's crispy on the outside, and it's juicy like the best fried chicken you've ever had, except you get all the benefits of it being turkey as well. It is pretty darn good. But anyway, my buddy, who's a police officer, drops this turkey into the vat of oil, except he didn't thaw the turkey first. And what happens, classic science, you take frozen ice crystals on a turkey and plunge it into boiling oil.
Okay.
And the result is an explosion.
Yeah, okay.
And so it burned not just his deck, because he was doing it on his back deck, which is also a no-no. You don't do it on a wooden structure, okay? But it burned half his house. It burned his kitchen off. It burned the back of his house off. But the problem is, and you know this from Guns N' Roses, that there's such a rivalry between cops and firefighters that when the firefighters showed up to fight the fire at this police officer's house that he caused because he didn't know how to fry a turkey, he said the rest of his career, he recently retired, the rest of his career, he just got made fun of constantly around Thanksgiving.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I bet. It would be funny to see him and that firefighter duke it out on Guns N' Roses.
Well, yeah, I don't think he'd do too well today. He would have in his prime, but not today. But yeah, that once you have that fried turkey, it can be a game changer. That was not intended as a pun, but because turkeys, birds are game. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Don't quit the day job. But if you add it to the meal, it can be very good. The other thing that I love is, and I love stuffing.
Yeah.
I do love stuffing. Now, I was swapping texts with Ryan Recker this week. And Ryan Recker and I, we stay in touch. And I was texting him because that's a guy who loves gravy. And so a couple of years ago for Christmas, I gave him his own gravy boat because he always said he never got enough gravy at Thanksgiving. So I bought him his own gravy boat. But I texted him a picture of this gravy boat. And I don't know, Matt, if you've seen this, but it's a gravy boat that's shaped like a cat.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. And when you pour the gravy, the gravy's coming out of the cat's mouth.
It's better than the other end.
Well, that's what Ryan texted. That's exactly when I sent him that picture. He said, I'm glad the gravy's not coming out of the other end. So that's exactly what Ryan Recker said. I do love some stuffing. So we're going to have lots of stuff tomorrow. I'm sure you are too, but remember to be thankful. One of the things I wanted to make sure that I got to is that I followed the launch of the new Starship that SpaceX has. It's called Starship Super Heavy Lift Rocket, and it's designed to not only take us to the moon, but it's also designed to eventually take us to Mars. So this is the second test launch of the Starship. And you got to remember, the way Elon Musk's company is completely different than other companies in terms of testing. Other companies, they test to make sure it works. They test to make sure it works. They test, they test, they test. But they don't ever launch anything because they don't want anything to go wrong. Musk has the opposite philosophy. He says, let's build it as best we can, launch it, watch it blow up, figure out why it blew up, and then repair that. And if we do that enough times, it's going to fly just fine. And it greatly expedites the time in which it takes to develop these types of technologies. So the fact that this one blew up, he said in advance it was going to blow up. So it was no shock. But this is what the shock was to me. As I was reading about this launch, I got into the bureaucracy, the red tape that's involved with launching this in Texas. Now, this is in Texas. It's not like it's in Massachusetts or New York or some blue state that's going to be heavy government regulation. This is in Texas. But here's what he had to go through. So, first of all, SpaceX had...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Wanna thank you. Yeah. Wanna thank you.
Welcome back to the Thanksgiving edition here of At Your Service. And during the break, I was chatting with Matt. I wanted to get this on the air because, Matt, what's your favorite Thanksgiving meal or food, rather?
I love green bean casserole. And I know that might not be a popular opinion, but the way my mom and my grandma before her made green bean casserole is just fantastic. It might be a bunch of added brown sugar or something in it, but I can't get enough green bean casserole every Thanksgiving.
And, you know, I've heard people, because I love green bean casserole. In fact, when I left my house to come to the station tonight, my middle daughter was making it at my house. So we're having that tomorrow. I've had people, like, we're having 30 people tomorrow. We always have a big, big meal at our house for Thanksgiving. And there are some people that don't like green bean casserole, but I don't understand why.
They're not having it the right way.
I guess.
Same with the turkey. People don't like turkey as the main part of the meal, but maybe that's because they've been eating a dry turkey their entire lives, they like the white meat over the dark meat. I don't know.
Well, I got to tell you this story, and I think you've heard this one before, but a good friend of mine who's a police officer, this was probably 15 years ago now, he wanted to deep fry his turkey. Have you had deep fried turkey?
No.
You know, I was very skeptical, all right? I was very, very skeptical until I had it. It is good. Now, I'm not saying I would eat it instead of a regular baked turkey, because I don't like it that much. But when you eat a deep fried turkey, you're like, oh, I get this. Okay. I get it. I understand.
I would have a hard time convincing my entire family to mix it up, that, you know, for this year, though. I think they've kind of, my mom and my uncle, who are responsible for the bird each year, they kind of have their own method that they do. And I think it'd be hard to convince them to mix it up and deep fry it this year, but I would be interested in trying that.
Well, here's what you do, because to deep fry it, I've never done it, but you have to have a smaller bird. So it's not the main meal for what you serve, because there just wouldn't be enough. You have to use a smaller bird. But it's crispy on the outside, and it's juicy like the best fried chicken you've ever had, except you get all the benefits of it being turkey as well. It is pretty darn good. But anyway, my buddy, who's a police officer, drops this turkey into the vat of oil, except he didn't thaw the turkey first. And what happens, classic science, you take frozen ice crystals on a turkey and plunge it into boiling oil.
Okay.
And the result is an explosion.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it burned not just his deck, because he was doing it on this on his back deck, which is also a no-no. You don't do it on a wooden structure, no. Okay? But it burned half his house. It burned his kitchen off. It burned the back of his house off. But the problem is, and you know this from Guns N' Roses, that there's such a rivalry between cops and firefighters that when the firefighters showed up to fight the fire at this police officer's house that he caused because he didn't know how to fry a turkey, he said the rest of his career, he recently retired, the rest of his career, he just got made fun of constantly around Thanksgiving.
That's hilarious. I bet. It would be funny to see him and that firefighter duke it out on Guns N' Roses.
Well, yeah, I don't think he'd do too well today. He would have in his prime, but not today. But once you have that fried turkey, it can be a game changer. That was not intended as a pun, but because turkeys, birds are game. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Don't quit the day job. But if you add it to the meal, it can be very good. The other thing that I love is, and I love stuffing.
Yeah.
I do love stuffing. Now, I was swapping texts with Ryan Recker this week. And Ryan Recker and I, we stay in touch. And I was texting him because that's a guy who loves gravy. And so a couple of years ago for Christmas, I gave him his own gravy boat because he always said he never got enough gravy at Thanksgiving. So I bought him his own gravy boat. But I texted him a picture of this gravy boat. And I don't know, Matt, if you've seen this, but it's a gravy boat that's shaped like a cat.
No, I've not.
Yeah. And when you pour the gravy, the gravy's coming out of the cat's mouth.
Fantastic. It's better than the other end.
Well, that's what Ryan texted. That's exactly when I sent him that picture. He said, I'm glad the gravy's not coming out of the other end. So that's exactly what Ryan Recker said. I do love some stuffing. So we're going to have lots of stuff tomorrow. I'm sure you are too, but remember to be thankful. One of the things I wanted to make sure that I got to is that I followed the launch of the new Starship that SpaceX has. It's called Starship Super Heavy Lift Rocket, and it's designed to not only take us to the moon, but it's also designed to eventually take us to Mars. So this is the second test launch of the Starship. And you got to remember, the way Elon Musk's company is completely different than other companies in terms of testing. Other companies, they test to make sure it works. They test to make sure it works. They test. But they don't ever launch anything because they don't want anything to go wrong. Musk has the opposite philosophy. He says, let's build it as best we can, launch it, watch it blow up, figure out why it blew up, and then repair that. And if we do that enough times, it's going to fly just fine. And it greatly expedites the time in which it takes to develop these types of technologies. So the fact that this one blew up, he said in advance it was going to blow up. So it was no shock. But this is what the shock was to me. As I was reading about this launch, I got into the bureaucracy, the red tape that's involved with launching this in Texas. Now, this is in Texas. It's not like it's in Massachusetts or New York or some blue state that's going to be heavy government regulation. This is in Texas. But here's what he had to go through. So first of all, SpaceX had the rocket. It was built and ready to go in early September. But 2 weeks after it was finished, after he had it on the launch pad, notified the federal government that they were ready to go, 2 weeks later, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services acknowledged that it had not even began doing an environmental impact study needed for the launch license. So they waited 2 weeks to even like return his phone call. And then when they got back to him, they said, no, we haven't even started. So Musk, when he posted on X that it's absurd that his company can build a rocket designed to go to Mars faster than the federal government can shuffle paperwork. And there's a lot of truth to that. And so then the agency moved, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Agency, they moved with lightning speed, and it took 8 weeks. Okay, so it took 8 weeks to do what really should have been done very quickly. But the focus of their review was that whenever you launch something like this, there's something called a deluge system, because water is ejected in terms of mist, and we've all seen that mist that kind of encircles a rocket before the launch. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife had to do an environmental impact of the mist to make sure that it wasn't going to poison the fish or poison the water. But because it's mist, it comes off of the parts of the rocket that are literally molten hot. That water is 100% pure water. And so it took them 8 weeks to test water to prove that it was pure water when everyone said it was pure to begin with, but we had to spend another 8 weeks. They did the launch. They did the environmental impact study on the prior launch. They're going to do it on the next launch. They're going to do it on every launch. But he has to jump through those hoops just to get that impact study done when the water that's run off is literally safe to drink. In fact, it's probably better than the water that we drink out of the faucets. And yet, they had to wait to get the launch. But that's not all. I mean, next, they had to do an environmental impact study on counting birds to find out if birds would be impacted, combing the beach for sea turtle eggs, and trying to calculate the obviously minuscule odds that something from the rocket might hit a whale. I am not making this up. They also had to study and measure the vibrations to see how the vibrations would impact animals that are living in the earth to inhabit the area. It's really a shock that this rocket could even be launched because of all the bureaucratic red tape that's really holding us back. So you look at China. Certainly China right now is our main competitor in the world. Do you think China is doing environmental impact studies to see to what extent debris from space rockets might hit a whale in the South China Sea? Do you think they're studying that at all? Do you think they're studying how it could impact migratory birds flying through Tajikistan might be impacted by the launch of a rocket? No, they're not doing any of that. So am I suggesting that we shouldn't either? No, I'm not suggesting that at all. What I'm suggesting is that, just like I talked about earlier, that as the understanding of rights, that we're entitled to something, goes up and up, then others, the freedom that others have, could go down and down. So in this instance, our ability to expedite looking to go to space, studying space, exploring space, all of that ability is being held back as government regulation grows exponentially. Should we have no government regulation? Of course not. Should we have total government regulation where nothing can ever happen? Of course not. So the idea is to find something in between. And right now, I don't know that we're doing that. When we look at the European space industry, right now, their space industry is in shambles. You don't see a lot being launched by the European Space Agency. Do they launch some probes and satellites? Of course they do. But they're not developing technologies. They're not, Elon Musk has dramatically, exponentially lowered the price and the cost of launching things into space. Why is that? It's because he's had, compared to Europe, a fairly tame regulatory system. Europe has it much worse. And Europe isn't developing any new science at this point because of that. But my concern is that when you look at the moon, China has already said they want exclusive control of the moon's water-rich South Pole. And if that happens, we can't build a permanent structure on the moon, because the only way to get fuel and oxygen for such a base is to build on that water-rich area on the south polar region of the moon, because we can separate that ice, turning it into water, separate the hydrogen from the oxygen, use use the hydrogen for fuel, use the oxygen for breathing, and that makes it sustainable. But if China controls the south part of the moon, then at that point, we're literally frozen out from having a base on the moon. And at what point do the regulations prevent us from leading the planet, literally, in the race for space? Those were stats that I had not seen until very recently. Hey, we're going to go to a break right now, come back with the last segment. Again, if you've got some favorite Thanksgiving memories or traditions, we would certainly love to hear it. 314-436-7900, KMOX. Don't go away. Back to At Your Service. We're sliding into the last segment here this evening. Thank you very much, Matt Pajeski. And we've talked about a lot of ideas tonight. One person texted in, and I asked him to call because he raised some interesting issues, and John has called in. John, welcome to Camo X.
Hi, Brad. Good talking with you.
So kind of lay out, you had sent me a text when I was talking about how the increase of rights means a decrease of freedom. And you texted in. What did you say?
Well, basically the gist of it was because we have a system that allows others to build the wealth that they do, you know, at what point do we ask those people who are able to amass such wealth to contribute to keep that system going?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think that's word for word what the text said, but that's basically the gist of it. Yeah. So, and I'm glad you responded when you did, because it now gave me something to like think about. And you said, what's the magic line?
Yeah.
There isn't a magic line, because it's a way more complicated issue than just where do we draw the line at. You can talk about the merits of the flat tax versus a progressive tax versus a marginal tax, all that stuff. But when it comes to this specific issue, I try to make it personal and how I would like, you know, want it designed for myself. And like, we have a very complex economy in the United States, one that obviously allows people to amass billions of dollars in fortunes and wealth and things like
sure.
that. But we also have people who are willing to give up higher earning potentials for careers that bring different types of rewards. Myself, I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was a veteran, or not was a veteran, I was in the military, and our military members don't get paid super high amounts of money. Teachers don't get paid super high amounts of money. So what I'm saying is, like, we need to try to, like, build a system that incentivizes those paths, vocations. And your previous caller, Kathy, I think, talked a little bit about this, of that service. And I think a way to incentivize that would be asking some of those people that have made billions of dollars to, like, you know, help support those that are giving up their earning potential to try and help support our complex economy.
Okay. Two ideas I want to come back at you with.
Yeah.
First of all,
sure.
is the idea that you're talking about something that should be ethically driven? For example, Matt Pajeski during one of the breaks mentioned about how Taylor Swift is taking care of all of her crew. She does all of it voluntarily. She gives up, pays them better than anyone else. Is that something that should just be an ethical or a moral expectation? Or are you envisioning this to be a legal requirement?
No, and I mean, I think, like, when you talk about a legal requirement, as in, like, you're breaking the law if you don't do this, then you're just going to find people will give enough to where they're not breaking the law and they don't want to deal with the problems of breaking the law, or they'll find ways around the law. What I'm talking
exactly.
about is trying to incentivize the way that we can keep, and I take more of a, I don't like the idea of ethics when it comes to, I mean, I believe in our government, as maybe I'm an optimist, it's the social contract theory that we're all kind of pitching in for one another and creating a government that takes care of all of us, or is supposed to. But you know, I believe more in the incentive route. So like I said, I try to make it personal. For teachers, for instance, this is just my own personal experience. If you get into teaching and you teach for so many years, your education should be free. Because like, I'm sacrificing my own personal wealth to give back to our economy in a way that isn't expensive through our public school system. You know,
right, but yet on the other hand, John, I've got a lot of relatives who are teachers. If you if you invest in getting an education, you're instantly guaranteed a pay raise.
You are.
So at that point, I don't understand why a teacher would have an expectation of getting a free education when really you're making an investment that will pay off in a higher salary.
You are, yes. And I agree. And I've actually, myself, I have maxed out in my pay scale because you can move like laterally as a teacher across pay scales and stuff. And then as you add years, you go like further down the pay scale. But I've kind of maxed myself out. And you could go look up how much I make online, and it's nowhere near what I could be making with the same skills in the private sector.
Well, that's true. But then on the other hand, John, you get things in the public sector that people in the private sector can't get. For example, you have a protection from termination, except for by cause. Teachers have a very truncated work schedule that is heavy on time off from school and holidays and so forth. This year, I'm in the private sector. This year, if I take 8 vacation days, I'll be shocked. Because of the pressures that I have in the private sector. But in the public sector, there's enormous amounts of free time that you're given. Let me finish my thought, John. From my perspective, are teachers paid less based on their transferable job skills than they would get in the private sector? Absolutely. Anyone that says they're not paid less is lying. But in exchange for that lower pay, people in the public sector are getting, in exchange for a lower pay, they're getting job security and they're getting a heightened amount of vacation time that people in the private sector don't enjoy. They could be fired on any day and they get far less in vacation pay. So to me, there's a quid pro quo there that while they're paid less, they're getting more in other areas.
There is. And I won't disagree with that. And I'm not one of those teachers that like says, woe is me, I don't get paid much money. But like I said, I wanted to make this conversation just personal from my own view.
Sure.
But on an individualistic basis, I completely agree with you. If you don't like the conditions in which your employment exists, you find new employment, right? But if we painted that brush across entire professions that commensurate to their education level or their training level, and I'm just going to say education, but to their training level, if those people, if system-wide you had a decrease in quality, it would affect the system as a whole, you know? And so, well, and like you said, there are a lot of fringe benefits to it. There are still a lot of, like, things that people give up so that they can, you know, do certain careers. Social workers, for instance, they don't have some of the time off schedules that I was talking about, things that people like that. And they do work that is necessary to our economy.
They do, absolutely. But what I want to get back to, John, though, in terms of making this a conversation, you said a few moments ago about incentivizing. And to me, that as we increase government regulation, government taxation, and government control, as we increase that, that's actually a disincentive to go above and beyond that. So I look at guys like Bill Gates and I look at Warren Buffett, and they've pledged to give away their fortunes. And I say, amen to that. Thank you. You're recognizing that you're giving back. But to say to the Jeff Bezos, you're not giving back, so we need to create government regulation to force you to do that, that would then create a disincentive for others to do the right thing if some are being forced to do the right thing.
There are going to you're probably right. I don't have necessarily any data that, to say whether or not. I know tax rates in different places in different decades have been higher and the prosperity has been high. The 1950s, for example, I think they had a 90% tax rate for the highest earners or something like that.
Right. And talk about your disincentive. 90% tax rate.
Well, 90%, that decade was also one of the biggest booms economically for the United States in the 20th century.
Hey, John, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off because we're coming up on a hard break on the end of the show.
Yeah.
But thanks for texting in. Thanks for calling. Yeah. And I appreciate your participation in the show.
Yeah, good conversation, Brad. I appreciate it.
Call anytime. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
You know, John's call to me is the epitome of what talk radio is all about. We disagreed on a text. He calls in. We had a conversation. We found some areas of agreement. We found some areas of disagreement. I challenged him. He challenged me. And to me, that's what talk radio is all about. So I want to challenge you as you go into the Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. I want to challenge you to, number one, think about what you're thankful for, whether it's freedom, whether it's our country, whether it's family, friends, community. Analyze what it is you're thankful for. But then secondly, as I talked about in the first hour, I'd like you to think about, to whom are you thankful? I'm thankful that coming up at 10 o'clock is the best of Dave Glover. I'll talk to you next week at your service, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. We're sliding into the last segment here this evening. Thank you very much, Matt Pajeski. And we've talked about a lot of ideas tonight. One person texted in, and I asked him to call because he raised some interesting issues, and John has called in. John, welcome to KMOX.
Hi, Brad. Good talking with you.
So kind of lay out, you had sent me a text when I was talking about, how the increase of rights means a decrease of freedom. And you texted in. What did you say?
Well, basically the gist of it was, because we have a system that allows others to build the wealth that they do, at what point do we ask those people who are able to amass such wealth to contribute to keep that system going?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think that's word for word what the text said, but that's basically
right.
The gist of it. Yeah. So, and I'm glad you responded when you did, because it now gave me something to think about. And you said, what's the magic line?
Yeah.
There isn't a magic line, because it's a way more complicated issue than just where do we draw the line at. You can talk about the merits of the flat tax versus a progressive tax versus a marginal tax, all that stuff. But when it comes to this specific issue, I try to make it personal and how I would want it designed for myself. And we have a very complex economy in the United States, one that obviously allows people to amass billions of dollars in fortunes and wealth and things like
sure.
that. But we also have people who are willing to give up higher earning potentials for careers that bring different types of rewards. Myself, I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was a veteran, or not was a veteran. I was in the military, and our military members don't get paid super high amounts of money. Teachers don't get paid super high amounts of money. So what I'm saying is, we need to try to build a system that incentivizes those paths, vocations. And your previous caller, Kathy, I think talked a little bit about this. Of that service. And I think a way to incentivize that would be asking some of those people that have made billions of dollars to help support those that are giving up their earning potential to try and help support our complex economy.
Okay. Two ideas I want to come back at you with.
Yeah.
First of all,
sure.
is the idea that you're talking about something that should be ethically driven? For example, Matt Pajeski during one of the breaks mentioned about how Taylor Swift is taking care of all of her crew. She does all of it voluntarily. She gives up, pays them better than anyone else. Is that something that should just be an ethical or a moral expectation? Or are you envisioning this to be a legal requirement?
No. And I think when you talk about a legal requirement, as in you're breaking the law if you don't do this, then you're just going to find people will give enough to where they're not breaking the law and they don't want to deal with the problems of breaking the law, or they'll find ways around the law. What I'm talking exactly. about is trying to incentivize the way that we can keep, and I take more of a, I don't like the idea of ethics when it comes to, I mean, I believe in our government as maybe I'm an optimist. It's the social contract theory that we're all kind of pitching in for one another and creating a government that takes care of all of us, or is supposed to. But, you know, I believe more in the incentive route. So like I said, I try to make it personal. For teachers, for instance, this is just my own personal experience. If you get into teaching and you teach for so many years, your education should be free, because like I'm sacrificing my own personal wealth to give back to our economy in a way that isn't expensive through our public school system, you know?
Right. Or but yet on the other hand, John, I've got a lot of relatives who are teachers. If you, if you invest in getting an education, you're instantly guaranteed a pay raise.
You are.
So at that point, I don't understand why a teacher would have an expectation of getting a free education when really you're making an investment that will pay off in a higher salary.
You are, yes. And I agree. And I've actually, myself, I have maxed out in my pay scale, because you can move like laterally as a teacher across pay scales and stuff. And then as you add years, you go like further down the pay scale. But I've kind of maxed myself out, and you could go look up how much I make online, and it's nowhere near what I could be making with the same skills in the private sector.
Well, that's true. But then on the other hand, John, you get things in the public sector that people in the private sector can't get. For example, you have a protection from termination, except for by cause. Teachers have a very truncated work schedule that is heavy on time off from school and holidays and so forth. This year, I'm in the private sector. This year, if I take 8 vacation days, I'll be shocked because of the pressures that I have in the private sector. But in the public sector, there's enormous amounts of free time that you're given. So, yeah. Let me finish my thought, John. From my perspective, are teachers paid less based on their transferable job skills than they would get in the private sector? Absolutely. Anyone that says they're not paid less is lying. But in exchange for that lower pay, people in the public sector are getting, in exchange for a lower pay, they're getting job security and they're getting a heightened amount of vacation time that people in the private sector don't enjoy. They could be fired on any day, and they get far less in vacation pay. So to me, there's a quid pro quo there, that while they're paid less, they're getting more in other areas.
There is. And I won't disagree with that. And I'm not one of those teachers that like says, woe is me, I don't get paid much money. But like I said, I wanted to make this conversation just personal for my own view.
Sure.
But now, and on an individualistic basis, I completely agree with you. If you don't like the conditions in which your employment exists, you find new employment, right? But if we painted that brush across entire professions that commensurate to their education level or their training level, and I'm just going to say education, but to their training level, if those people, if system-wide, you had a decrease in quality, it would affect the system as a whole, you know? And so, well, and like you said, there are a lot of fringe benefits to it. There are still a lot of, like, things that people give up so that they can, you know, do certain careers. Social workers, for instance, they don't have some of the time off schedules that I was talking about, things that people like that, and they do work that is necessary to our economy.
They do, absolutely. What I want to get back to, John, though, in terms of making this a conversation, you said a few moments ago about incentivizing. And to me, that as we increase government regulation, government taxation, and government control, as we increase that, that's actually a disincentive to go above and beyond that. So I look at guys like at Bill Gates and I look at Warren Buffett, and they've pledged to give away their fortunes. And I say amen to that. Thank you. You're recognizing that you're giving back. But to say to the Jeff Bezos, you're not giving back, so we need to create government regulation to force you to do that, that would then create a disincentive for others to do the right thing if some are being forced to do the right thing.
There are going to. You're probably right. I don't have necessarily any data to say whether or not. I know tax rates in different places in different decades have been higher, and the prosperity has been high. The 1950s, for example, I think they had a 90% tax rate for the highest earners or something like that.
And right, and talk about your disincentive. 90% tax rate.
Well, 90% that decade was also one of the biggest booms economically for the United States in the 20th century.
Hey, John, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off because we're coming up on a hard break on the end of the show.
Yeah.
But thanks for texting in. Thanks for calling. Yeah. And I appreciate your participation in the show.
Yeah, good conversation, Brad. I appreciate it.
Call anytime. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
You know, John's call to me is the epitome of what talk radio is all about. We disagreed on a text. He calls in. We had a conversation. We found some areas of agreement. We found some areas of disagreement. I challenged him. He challenged me. And to me, that's what talk radio is all about. So I want to challenge you as you go into the Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. I want to challenge you to, number one, think about what you're thankful for, whether it's freedom, whether it's our country, whether it's family, friends, community. Analyze what it is you're thankful for. But then secondly, as I talked about in the first hour, I'd like you to think about, to whom are you thankful? I'm thankful that coming up at 10 o'clock is the best of Dave Glover. I'll talk to you next week at your service, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.